Amen. In our looking together at the in the light of Israel and the light of a new year, trying to be able to possess all of the benefits and all of the blessings and all of the bliss that belongs to God's people. Here and now, until there and then. Now, in the light of that, we shared together about Israel. And Israel, remember, failed, as we shared last time. God gave them a wonderful privilege to have wonderful, wonderful benefits, which they just lost out on. In fact, God gave them exceedingly more than they ever even attempted to understand. And we share together in the future, Israel will enter into those benefits, but not yet. Now, here we are, and we share together in the light of Proverbs 16 and verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap. The lot, that's a person's life. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That which is put in front of them. You get out of bed, you go to bed. Day in and day out. Your daily exercise of being alive. Now, having said that, that's our lot. And it's in our lap. Remember they had the toga, the garment, would have a little cloth, you'd be able to lift, put things in it. You could put a baby in it. You could put a lamb in it. You could put whatever you want. And that's the lot and the lap. And they both belong to us. It's our lap and our lot. In the lot, as it was, the lot in Israel, as we shared last time, they would have Israel's 12 tribes, etc., found the right place that they belonged by way of the stone that was drawn from the lot, from the lap. They pulled the stone out, and that stone belonged to a given tribe, and the given tribe had that piece of property. In our lives, we have all kinds of things that are before us on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis, where we make choices and decisions all the time. And here they are. And they're ours. You living over here have your lot and your lap. And over here, your lot and your lap. Everyone has their thing they have to develop. We're all humans. We all belong in that group. We all are the same. We're the same. But the outworking, you work over at Joe's sweatshop, and you work over here at Joe's tomato shop. Everyone works where they want to work, all different. Different food, different refrigerator, whatever. Now, having said that, Israel, and now that's true. I'm going to try to drive that point home since it is so terribly helpful to us. And verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, the judgment of it, the deciding of it, the whole judgment thereof belongs to God, is of the Lord. So God, here's our lot, here's all the humans that have ever been born from Adam and Eve down to the end of the millennium. Here they all are. And they all have, God, you know all about them with no problem. You're able to go and with everything. You have to remember he's God, so then you don't get hung up in trying to figure it out. God, if you know every hair on every head, if you know every little bird that falls across the face of this planet, God, and you know the name of every star in trillions of galaxies. I added billions to trillions because if they want to keep going, you know. we won't be around. They'll never find out anyway. God said they never would. Now, because you'll never find the end of God's finite expression of his infinite being. How big are you, God? Very big. In fact, the word big isn't adequate, because the word big is for you, comparatively. There is no word in my person. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and reminding you, the whole disposing, the whole judgment, the judge, the decision of a judge, the determination of a judgment made, the execution of a decision, the executive right to make a decision, okay, that's God's. Now, keep in mind, if you would, if you, we aren't going to do it, but you know it, we did the book of Ecclesiastes. And in all 12 chapters, what do we discover? What was the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes? That Solomon, who was given wisdom, excelling any human being apart from our Lord, from a human standpoint. No one could compete with him on this life, and not in this world. You couldn't touch Solomon. Solomon knew it all. And he had everything. He had anything and everything he wanted, of money, women, everything. He had it all. And he tells you, God give it. God let that happen. Why? So Solomon with what? Is going to be an example to illustrate. If you were to gain the whole world, if you were to have everything everywhere at all times, if you could have anything and everything you could ever wish, without God, it is vanity. It is chasing the wind. It goes nowhere. And Ecclesiastes said, "What all my your knowledge, if I just get more training and more food and more money and a bigger car, and if I just have all of this." No. Without God, if you have the riches I have, said Solomon, it won't do any good. If you have all of everything I have, anything I want, it won't do you any good without God. That's the point. Now, why? Because the whole disposing of it, all of creation, God, is yours. All of creation belongs to you. Now, having that little bit, and keeping the whole disposing thereof belongs to God. And I'll add, while you're here in chapter 16, just you know it. Chapter 16, verse 1, the preparations of the heart, the preparations, the putting in order, the word preparation, to put in order, to prepare, to make ready. Make ready for feast, for food, for war. The preparations of the heart and man, he makes all kinds of preparations. He arranges counsel, plans, and agenda. He has all of that in his heart, in the heart of man. And the answer, the reply, the response of everything that's in the heart of man is the answer, the response, the reply of the tongue is from God. God makes the decision. Everything's there. God, you can't exercise anything in creation apart from God. God's knowing, God's plan, God's design, God's purpose. You can't exercise anything in time, in all of creation, which is in the middle of God. Now, and thus, God has to answer to God. Over, if you would please, to verse 4. The Lord hath made all things, all, everything for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everything, God is there for you. That's right. I created it. That's why you're on planet Earth, because God gave you physical life. God gave you a soul and spirit somewhere yesterday when you were born. God did that. Mom and Dad didn't do it, and no one did it. God did. and I shared 1,000 times, you could have been born 100 years ago. Wouldn't make any difference. Whenever you were born, wherever you were born, however you were born, that's God's doing. God brings us in, and God alone brings us out. Period. Now, hang on to that. Over, if you would, please, in your Bible, to get the idea. Over, please, oh, while you're here in Proverbs, chapter 21. Proverbs 21. In chapter 21, Proverbs, remember, everything has to answer to God. You can't have things in the middle of God that he isn't responsible for and accountable to make sure it's there for the right reason. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We think it's the thing to do. This is what we're going to do. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord is the bottom. When you're all done, everyone's all done, the UN, the great councils, the great organizations, the great nations, and all of the coups and clans and everything else, they all do what they do. And all of it is done, but not without God's management. Allowing humans to have great freedom, but great oversight. Now, having said that, add to that, please. And while you're here in Proverbs, you might as well do it right while you're here. Proverbs chapter 28. Remember we said the whole disposing, Proverbs 16:33, the whole disposing judgment is of God. God determines how he's going to let it go. And thus, chapter 28, verse 5, we did it. Evil men understand not judgment. They don't include, they don't understand God doing what he does, when he does. If there is a God, why can't we do what we do, say what we say, and disregard God totally? And the results come and go. The consequences, everything comes and rolls out, and we don't include God at all. It just keeps going. The ball keeps going down the hill. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now you're ready, if you would, to Deuteronomy. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel in chapter 4. Just to remind us so that we're on the same page in our thinking. You want to understand the facts. They are facts. They are historical realities. Chapter 4. If I may, verse 17, Daniel 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. For what purpose? To the intent that we on planet Earth, to the intent that the living may know what? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest, the lowest of men. So now, as you go through history, kings, queens, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Hirohito, down the line. Yeah. Wow. There they are. How'd they get there? Now, hang on. Over to chapter. Nicodemus is very conscious now. Verse 34. 4 and 34. God does a wonderful work in the heart of Nicodemus. Nebuchadnezzar, I should say. Nicodemus, he did a wonderful work in him too. But Nicodemus isn't alive yet to do the work. You see, he has to be alive. But Nebuchadnezzar precedes him. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. At the end of the days, remember God put him through the ringer, Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years as an animal. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, whose kingdom is from generation to generation. I, as king of Babylon, I was disciplined by God, and I awoke to understand his wonderful person and place in time and history. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, the lot is cast into your lap, but you understand when it's all done, whether you're a king or a pauper, a beggar, God decides how it's going to go. That doesn't mean we don't have choice, and we do. We reap the consequences of what we sow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we share together that God, at last Sunday night, I think, we share together that there is no chance with God. Chance or luck. There isn't any with God. None whatsoever. Time, like the watch, and like the time pieces we can have today with the atomic, all that, within a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a second. Time. God started time, in time, on time. A precise, his clock, his watch is precise. It never needs rewinding. It never needs, the springs never fail. It is perfectly moving inch by inch, minute by minute, down the corridor of time until the end of time. It's God's clock, and everything is already understood. Every single minute of all of time, from Genesis to Revelation, God has them every minute, just like that, all together. Now, having said that, and so there's no chance. There's no failing, as we said. In fact, the chance is foreign, luck. You don't find that in the Word of God. You don't find it, because it's foreign to his vocabulary, wouldn't you? It's alien to him. And what does gambling do? What do we do it? Chance, lot? What are we doing? We're gambling on everything we say and everything we do, the results of it. We gamble on that. We gamble. And gambling exalts chance. It lifts chance up. Take a chance, and that's with the lottery, you know. Who knows? You and one of 7 billion people might win, maybe, the lottery, you see. It's a chance. But you don't have that. Believers don't have that. Because they're trusting God. And God doesn't work with chance or luck at all. You have a Heavenly Father who knoweth your need. Now, keep that in mind. So here we are looking to God. And God, everything you're going to do, and we make choices all the time according as we shared. We reach in every day. We have to make decisions, and we make them, and we pull them out, and we do whatever we have to do or think we have to do, and we do it. And we select our little stones every day, and we make a choice, take a chance often, more than not, and thus we go. And so, as we go down the line here, man is proposing and God is disposing, as we read in Proverbs 16:1. So in the light of it all, God, we have all kinds of options to do whatever, and we do them. But are we understanding, including God? At any moment, are you including God in your thinking, in your doing, in what the world is thinking, in what the world is doing, Are they including God? Because you can't exclude God. Now hang on. Over if you would, let me illustrate. Over if you would please, in your Bible, to Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark chapter 7. You are familiar with it, but I'm going to give it again if I may. Mark 7. Going, if I can, to verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. It's nothing that goes in. There's no problem. You don't sin by what you ate. You ate sin. You don't eat sin. You don't do that. So you don't want to sit down and say, if I eat that, I sin. No, you don't. No, you may get sick, but you won't sin. Now, so, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. When he was entered into the house, from the people, his disciples asked him concerning what he just said, the parable. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, down his esophagus and large intestine and out. Because it entereth not into his heart, into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats of foods. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, where are they coming from? From the heart. From the heart. Whose heart? Now, without turning there for time's sake, you know in Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21, the works of the flesh are these. That's like we just read. All the stuff, minus God, junky stuff, comes out of us. So here we go, reach inside. Remember we had a bag once here, out here with full of potatoes and stuff. And every time I reached in the bag, I couldn't see in the bag. I had the bag close. I had reached in the bag, and I pulled out what my hand touched, and I pulled out a potato. And every time I went in the bag, I always found a what? A potato. Every time you go in your heart, you find the same stuff. Do you understand? Every time you go down here, you pull out the same stuff. Well, say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. And unless you've got a supply of something different from somewhere else, you don't have anything in there except the potatoes. That's all you can get out. You say, I can get. No, you couldn't. There's no one. Give them $1 million. That's nothing anymore. $1 billion. Pull out something that isn't a potato. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in us, that's all we can pull out is potatoes, as it were. So now, that's our old nature. And the God of this world, Ephesians 2:2-3, what do we know? He's working. So the world system, the satanic system that operates the world system, we're part of the system. We have our own hearts, our own nature, and we're pulling out. So where in this whole arrangement is there anything of God, anything of good, anything that will last and survive and come out right? Not in the world system, not in the satanic system, not in my old nature. There's nothing. So the Lord, God says it very simply, the Lord is cast into your lap, and the whole outworking has to be me. Otherwise, it's wood, hay, and stubble, vanity, chasing the wind, etc., etc. Now, having said that, over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, you are familiar. if I may, Matthew chapter 12, going, if I may, directly, to verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where it comes from, our heart. That's how it gets in our tongue. That's how it gets in our thinking. A good man, verse 35, out of the good measure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. There's no way to get anything, using back to the illustration. You only can get potatoes if that's all that's there. If all that's there is potatoes. Now, you can refine them, and you could paint them, paint each potato differently. You could go and flavor it and dip them in different kinds of tasty things and put them back in your, out here, change your life, power of positive thinking, change your life, and you're going to do it all. And you're doing, and you, what are they? Well, all you did is put the potato back in a different way. So no matter how you eat and use, it's a potato when you're all done. You dressed it up, made it look good, you know, you got a degree, and you're CEO of Joe's Pet Shop. Yay! But you've got nothing. Nothing at all. Now, where your treasure is, there is your heart, wherever your treasure is. Now, having said that, in Matthew chapter 6, God, what's the problem? Well, we want to see it. And thus, I see the problem. If I only got potatoes, that's all I'm going to get. Matthew chapter 6, what do I know? What should I know? Chapter 6 of Matthew, picking up, please, directly in verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. They keep going and doing everything out of their own lot, thinking, praying. For our Father, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, God, before I even live tomorrow, you already know. That's right. You already know next week. That's right. I already know that. My God, you know that. Yes, I do. Us human fathers don't. But God does. We can only guess at things. Now, verse 32. Chapter 6, verse 32. For after all these things, I'll read verse 31, a little better context. Therefore, take no thought, don't be anxious, don't be worried, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look to God, trust God. Trust God. God isn't a God of chance or luck. He doesn't do that. Never at all. Everything's right in the middle. There's no way in his workmanship, in his creativity, that he did it all to have it all fall apart. He's supervising it all. It all has to come out exactly as he intended before any of it was created. Now, over to Psalm 31. Now, I'm going to go and give you some little things to lock onto that I hope are helpful. All kinds of ways to do it. I'm going to reach down. God gave us his word. I'm going to reach down and pull a couple of things out that ought to help you with this. All kinds of things, but I'm going to give a little bit. Psalm 31. In Psalm 31, may I go directly to verse 14. Psalm 31, 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou, Lord, art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, my times are in your hand. My lot, my lap, my decisions, I make them all the time. And I want to make them. I have to make them. I'm required to make them. And taking all kinds of school, work, home, everywhere I go, I have to make decisions and do things and make choices. But God, I'm looking to you. And I understand something, God, that you are going to have to make everything, not only me, not only my situation, not only my circumstances and condition, you have to make everything work out. Not for me, but for you. Everything has to come together in the great, great puzzle, all the pieces, the great painting. Everything has to be in order, God. I understand that, God. My times are in your hand. The world is out there doing it. They disregard you. I will not disregard you. Hang on. Over if you would, please. Oh, over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. And if I may, Proverbs chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse, going to verse 5. I'll read verse 4. So shalt thou, Proverbs 3, 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It will give you mental, physical, wonderful stamina. Look to me. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me out. Make sure I'm included on an ongoing basis, minute by minute. You're trusting me. Over, if you would, please. To James. James chapter 4. Book of James and chapter 4. In James 4, picking up, please, the thought. If I may, you'll get the idea, wonderful section about James. In verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, we'll buy and sell and get and gain. That's our plan. We reach in, we make a decision, we make a choice, we take a chance, and then we project. This will be how the market will go. This will be how it works out. This will be how it's going to go. And we make that decision. We make it. Whether we buy and sell and where we're going to live and everything, we're going to do it now. Okay. Verse 14. Whereas you know not, N-O-T, what shall be in the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You have no, you're only a breath away. That's why God says, don't trust humans. Don't trust people that breathe. If anyone is in front of you when they're a breather, don't trust them. Don't trust them. Don't trust breathers. Because the breath is in their mouth. And in one moment, the breath is gone. And out of their own lap comes all of this stuff. And now, God said, James, it's smart, but people aren't going to catch it because we are gamblers. And we want our own choices, no matter what the consequences or how it works. Now, verse 5, chapter 4, picking up, please, then, verse 15. For what ye ought to say, What should we say instead of, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and this is going to happen, and this is how it's going to go? What should we do? We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. God, without you, I have no idea I'm going to cross the street after this service. I have no idea I'm going to finish this service without you. Do you understand? Make it work. Don't be so proud and stupid to make projection about that which you have no control of. Everything is the world system, satanic system, my old nature. It's all there. And it isn't for me. It's my enemy. So if you don't mind, I'm going to work and outwork that which I do in a most wonderful way. So I want you to know that, and I want you to do that with great trust in your heart. Now, having said that, over if you would please, in your Bible, to Philippians. You were there this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. And going, if I may, to verse 12. Philippians 2 and in verse 12. Picking up, if I can, in thought. Over in, I'll read verse 12. Wherefore, am I beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. What are we going to do? Believing believers. Work out your own salvation, not somebody else's. Because I can't choose. I have to. My choices may include you, God. Their choices may not include you. Everything I want to do includes you. But other people, they aren't including you. So I can't work anything out for them. I only can work it out for me. That's all. Now, and thus, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you know the wonderful, wonderful second part of that that's indispensable, the other side of the coin. Verse 13. For it is God, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, the complete working of it is up to God. Thus, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God, here we are looking to you, going down the corridor of time, and we're going to be trusting you. I'm going to make sure I'm conscious of you. No matter what, I'm going to be conscious. I'm going to do what I can, the best I understand. I may make a lot of stupid mistakes, but when I do, I'm looking to you to get me in, through, and around them in spite of them to work it out. And I confess my sin when I goof. Now, and thus, in Ephesians 2, God, you're there. And we read in Matthew 6, the need, over to chapter 4 of Philippians 4. Philippians 4:19. In 4:19, adding pieces and pieces. But my God shall supply all your need. My Father knoweth my need. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm not going by the lottery. I'm not going by human anything. I'm not going by human chance or luck. No, I'm going to go on the basis that you and I, if you're saved, have a Heavenly Father who's going to supply everything that is needed in the person of Jesus Christ, on account of Jesus Christ, for his honor and glory. So every single second of the rest of my life, God, I make the decisions. The lot is cast into my lap. But God, the outworking of it, I give to you. My times are in thy hands, God. So I go down the corridor, understanding 1,000,000,000 things that doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs don't understand. But God, you do. They have no control, but you do. No one can work out. No one can exceed your wonderful sovereign grace. No one. So now, God, here I am, so that Philippians 4, while you're still there, verse 11. 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state, whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content, I am satisfied. I am satisfied, but I didn't win the law. No, I didn't even vote. I didn't even not vote, do whatever. I didn't do. I didn't get a thing. I didn't do it. No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah, you'll be sorry. No. Listen, I wouldn't win if I was the only one choosing. You understand that? If there was one number and I had the number in my hand, I would lose. Somehow, when I gave the number, I'd end up losing. I don't ask me how. I'm not trying to win that way. I'll never win that way. I never win that way. I don't want to win that way. Verse 12. For I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, initiated, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God, I'm learning. There's nothing you aren't conscious of. So I'm going to take inch by inch, step by step, down the corridor of time. I'm going to do so trusting you, God, with all my heart. I'm going to do so. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, set, supported by thee. God, I'm going to look to you, and I do what I have to do, the best of my ability, the best of my understanding, but I'm going to trust you, school, work, home, play, sickness, wealth, health, no matter what, I'm going to trust you, God. God, you're going to have to help me to get through it, inch by inch and step by step. Now, would you go with me, please, to get a little something. Over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it'll help us with tonight a little bit of the wonder of it all. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you would remember, in the light of the context, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that person is a new creature, brand new creation, Jews, Gentiles, and the believers, the church of God. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God, I got a whole new approach. I brought you into my life, and I got a whole new way to work things out. God, and I know so because, turn with me, please, over to Ephesians. Ephesians. I know they're new, good, all that you're doing. And what do I don't want to forget, God, 2 Corinthians Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, his, H-I-S, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should live moment by moment in time in light of a great God who had a great plan for allowing us to be born physically on planet Earth in the first place. Why was I ever born? God, I put you into the equation, into the picture. I know why I'm born. And you have a wonderful plan and reason. You have given me choice, the lot in my lap. But God, I want to understand that you need to be, it is imperative that you be included in my thoughts, words, dreams, so that I'm looking to you to outwork that which is beyond my ability to understand or comprehend. Now, Romans 8. What do you know? Now watch it. If it never made sense to you, maybe it might now. Watch. Romans 8, you know. We're children. I'll read you verse 17. Verse, 12, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, verse 17, 8, 17, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God, God, you have done something wonderful. You brought us into a unique relationship to yourself by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, like we did with baptism in Sunday school. You have done something wonderful. You have placed us and all of the benefits of what Christ did on the cross, buried and rising again, and ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. All of that wonderful benefit you bring to us so that that which he made possible is now mine. So in the middle of my lot and my lap, on planet Earth, I have been understood, I was born physically to be able to make a choice, not chance, to make a choice to be born spiritually. I can make a choice to take advantage of my physical birth to be born spiritually. And when I do, I enter in to the marvelous arrangement that you had before the world was ever created, for such as us, for such as us, yes. Now, therefore, in the light of everything, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, that are loving God, and who them are called according to his purpose. God, we know that all things work together for good. We make decisions. We have no idea where it's going to go. We go and do this, and we plan that, and we drive this, and we drive over there, and we say and do, and God, we don't know. But God, if we're looking to you, really, really, truly, truly, being an ever-present help, being a refuge for us, being an ever-present companion. You said you would never leave nor forsake. Five negatives in a row. Never. Never, 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 never. Means never. Never. Wow. And God, here we are. All things work together for good. I don't know how. I make the decisions, not chance. No chance. I'm going to make them. Looking to you. God, help me to make the right thing in the right way at the right time. And help me and all the rest of it to work it out. God, as I do that, I know that everything that is in, around, and about my life is going to come out. Because you, God, are going to dispose, make the judgment call on how you want it to go. And not the world wants it to go, and not the devil wants it to go, and not my old nature wants it to go, how you want it to go. And I go down that corridor of time, wow, knowing no matter how it looks, feels, tastes, touch, whatever, no matter how troubling it could be, distressing, depressing, no matter what, I know, in work, home, school, and play, it's for good. To say it another way, it's for you, God. You are one good God, and you do good. God, that's how I want to walk. Walk worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing. I want to live like that. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the other part of it that you need, I know it is, I know, tonight, I know it's hard. And if you're a sports fan, don't be one. Till later. Anyway, we'll have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness and deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes and our health, our jobs and everything. God, here we are. God, just isn't going to work without you. So, God, we're going to thank you with all our heart, look to you with all our might. Thank you. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, deal with them. Convict them of sin, that they might understand the only way to get right is in your righteousness, provided in your Son. To receive our Lord Jesus Christ is to receive your saving grace and the righteousness that you require, God. So we're looking to you to deal with us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful just being alive in a troubled and troubling world. That we, our God, can proceed in time, on time, all the time, trusting you. That you're going to make it all come and come together for your honor and your glory. And in your name we pray, in Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn, if you like, to 412, 412. As we stand together to sing.